I think that if you want to run a democracy, you're going to have laws that try to prevent people from doing violence specifically to divide people.
Welcome to Faith in Each Other. I'll be your host, Jordan Howard, and on this show, I want to dive into the minds and the beliefs from people of all walks of life, baby boomers to millennials. No question is off limits as we learn together and go through the journey together of seeing where we, as a society, have gone wrong and where we have gotten it right. I believe that our faith in each other can lead us into a beautiful future. Each episode, I will be joined by Reverend David Williams, my pastor, and his good friend Tom Ingram, as we talk through challenges facing our society today and gain an understanding from different perspectives. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our podcast, Faith in Each Other. Thank you for joining us. And I'm joined again today by Reverend David Williams and his good friend Tom Ingram. Today episode, we're going to speak about terrorism. With all the current threats to our society and our nation, it's hard to have faith in each other. The threats of terrorism are real and present. And what's most shocking is they are a lot closer to home than I realize. There are multiple forms of terrorism in the form of domestic terrorism, foreign terrorism, and even in the form of misinformation. In the form of misinformation, it's hard to really understand and find the truth of the matter. What do you think is our biggest terroristic threat to our democracy? And are we any more prepared post 9/11? I'm going to ask you that, Tom. What do you think is our biggest terroristic threat currently?
The problem that we have with terrorism right now is that the terrorists are smarter than we are. So I believe that the terrorists understand the weakness of democracy and we don't. So when, you know, terrorists come after us, I think they understand that they're trying to destroy faith in each other, that that's the actual goal, that they're trying to divide people. And I think that the problem that we have is that we don't understand that what they're trying to do. We think they're trying to kill us or something like that, but they're really trying to turn us against each other. And I think that the weakness we have with terrorism right now stems from the 2001 event where we reacted to the terrorist action by doing something that divided our own country, namely the starting those two wars. So to me, the reason that we're so threatened by terrorism is because we don't understand how dangerous, we don't understand really what they're trying to do. Because there's no terrorism under the dictator, right? The dictator doesn't have terrorism because the dictator wouldn't care what the terrorists do. The terrorists are trying to affect public opinion. They're trying to affect how we see each other. It's an effect on all the people. So that's why it's our lack of understanding how terrorism threatens us that makes it dangerous. But terrorism has become a partisan issue with us now. I mean, it's been used as a weapon politically, and it's hard to take it back after that.
Absolutely, I agree. Pastor David, did you want to add anything to what Tom said?
You know, I thought about this episode, Jordan, for a moment before we came on the air. And, you know, terrorists seems to sow fear into a particular group of a sort. You know, and fear can be expressed in so many different ways. But, you know, I see terrorism not just nationally or in foreign soils or, you know, in other countries. But it just, you know, if people think about it, we've had our own terrorist movements in this country, even, you know, before we got into fights with the Middle East and other countries. You know, I think about the turn of the century, the 1900s, when the middle, I want to say 1900s, 1920s, when the Ku Klux Klan decided that they wanted to express terror in this country, you know, in the hearts of African-Americans, especially Asians, There was terror. You know, you wanted to make sure people were fearful of a certain mindset. So violent things happen, and groups would do night rides, night raids into towns, burn houses down, lynch people. This was an act of terrorism, and it happened right here in our soil, on our own soil. But you know, sometimes we just think the terrorists are our Islamic brothers. The terrorists are, you know, our foreign or our Afghan brothers and sisters who are coming here. But it's not. We've had our own share of terrorist groups in this country. You know, whether they wanted to lock out Jews, you know, whether they, you know, they wanted people to make sure you didn't have interracial marriages. There were people who terrorized communities, neighborhoods, cities, just to place fear in the hearts of people. So terrorism really does cause a great amount of fear, but it doesn't just have to be, you know, those who are espousing one party or the other. It just seems like we've known terror in this country way before.
Absolutely. The KKK formed back in 1865, yeah. I believe. Yeah, so it's been around for quite a while. Like you said, terrorism has always been here. And now this question's for you, Pastor Dave. After the 1979 revolution in Iran, when the first modern religious terrorist groups appeared, and with the current amount of them now, is there a reason, do you think, that there is an increase in the religious terror groups?
Yeah, I think we had to come to grips with there are nations who live by a religious code, you know, and even though we have a freedom of religion, there are countries that run through a type of religious government. And when we as a nation decided that we're going to interrupt that, we have a right to come in and press against certain forms of political governments in other countries, we also have to be ready to take on the backlash of that. And I think we might not have thought that, well, if I go and throw my weight around in a smaller country, that they were just going to roll over and play dead and just say, okay, thank you for coming in here, choosing a side of people, choosing a religious group and backing them, and they would do nothing. I think that was bad planning on our side. And so we found that countries, no matter what their size, you know, just because they are small in numbers doesn't mean that they want to intact or to protect what they believe are their rights as a nation to exist, run their countries as they choose to exist. And when other countries come and say, hey, we want to express that our democracy is the correct democracy, you know, you haven't sold that to everybody. And so I think we opened ourselves up at times for backlashes that we thought people would maybe just roll over and just say, oh, it's OK. But no, religious governments, you know, when you have shahs and other religious leadership who run a country, we have to make sure we acknowledge that. And not all countries have been democratic, whether we like it or not. And so I think we got some of the backlash from probably not really considering that others would, if they didn't agree with us, they may act out toward, you know, how we came in and tried to force their country into a certain behavior or a certain government. And so I think that's what we saw. There were countries that were ran by religious led politics. And so I think that's what we're seeing.
Tom, did you have a response to what Pastor David said?
Yeah, the first response I have is about the Klan. And, you know, I don't think that it's accurate to say that the Klan's goal was to spread terror. I would say that the Klan's goal was to prevent African-American people from voting, that was their main goal, and that spreading terror was a means toward that. And Go ahead.
I didn't want to disagree. That's not how we explain it at all.
Right.
Oh, no. When you are, as a people group, are shown that your presence in particular in a certain area or a certain sense of rising above your present situation. No, our ancestors were very clearly explained, you are not welcome here, and these are lessons to let you know you're not welcome here. And it was, we want you to stay in a subservient role. And if not, if you see us lynch your brother, your mother, your aunt, your uncle, your father, this is so you will know where boundaries are.
But the response I would give to that is that, you know, I'm not disagreeing with any of that. But what I'm telling you is that if we had a king, there would be no KKK. Mm. That's what I'm saying. It's the democracy that caused the KKK. And if you ask the KKK, they'd say that their goal was to keep Black people from voting. That's right. What they would say. Right. And what I'm telling you is that, in my opinion, it's very important to see it that way, because one of the ways you can fix the KKK, right, is you get a king. And then you don't need the KKK anymore. Mm. The KKK is a result of democracy. Without democracy, there is no KKK. That's my opinion.
I think I understand what you're saying there, Tom. Speaking of KKK and kind of the fear.
Well, why wasn't there a KKK? But why wasn't there a KKK before democracy?
I was taught it.
You know what I'm saying?
In education, and I went to primarily white schools, I was taught that the KKK was created as a work coalition to prevent people of all other races from getting work in their town. And they would dress up like this to scare people away. So it seems like there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of different stories. And honestly, I think they do that just to confuse us and keep us confused, you know. And that with that being said, the KKK is notorious for some of those hate crimes that are out there. Tom, do you think hate crimes are an effective deterrent against, you know, domestic terrorism, which are kind of at the core?
Yeah, to me, hate crimes are one of my favorite subjects, because to me, hate crimes are crimes. So hate crimes are crimes that are meant to divide people.
I meant to say hate crime laws.
Yeah.
Sorry. I meant to say hate crime laws.
Yeah.
I had to throw it out there. Hate crime laws.
Right. but no, the hate crime laws are inadequate, right? And the hate crime laws are the most important laws we have, because they're there to defend democracy. Mm. The problem with hate crime laws is they're misnamed. So if you say hate to somebody who's a working class European American person in the United States, they hear us. They don't hear hate. They hear me. Right. That's what it means to us. We're the haters, you know. I was in the airport and the guy in front of me has a T-shirt and it says people are going to hate. Haters are going to hate. And it has a picture of me on the back of his shirt. Bald 64-year-old white guy. Right. But anyway, so if you kill somebody because you're mad at him, that's affects you and him. Right. But if you kill somebody to try to divide the Shia community from the Sunni community, that's a crime against democracy. And if we had named hate crimes against democracy, then we could take that. So the reason we don't call it a crime against democracy, is we don't want to admit that democracy is weak, that democracy can lose out. So therefore, you can't give the real explanation of what it is that the person who committed this crime is trying to turn Americans against each other, which can hurt the overall democracy, which is why it's a much more serious crime, right? We can't say that because we don't admit that faith in each other is what the whole system is based on anyway, that democracy is weak. So we have to use the word hate instead of, and the problem with it is the people in Charlottesville, like you were saying, you know, the guys waving the Nazi flags and the KKK outfits in Charlottesville, those guys are trying to divide us too. And if we understood hate crimes for what they are, which is really a crime against democracy instead of a hate crime, then we could take that same philosophy and turn it over to those people in Charlottesville, right? And the people in Charlottesville are terrorists. I mean, they're committing a hate crime by what they do. Now, it's protected by free speech. We can't make a law against it. But I think if we could have an understanding that the people who are doing this stuff, it's not a black or a white thing. It's a democracy or authoritarian thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, hate, the word hate invokes emotion. What was that, Pastor David?
You know, I can own that some of the things that we're seeing happening in our country are directly in line with what you have when a country becomes a democracy. I can grab that. I can take that. When we as a country said we wanted to become a democratic republic, you know, where people would live and laws and leadership would govern, I understand that. But I cannot go and say that I can't understand why when a person hurts another person under a democracy that it is never because the person hated the person, I mean, or wanted to create fear for the person, but it is because our covering for that person is, but you didn't really hate that person. I mean, it wasn't really about hatred for a people group. It was, this is what happens when you have a democracy. Somewhere we are missing, we understand that democracy affords all sorts of behaviors, for sure. But is that an excuse to say constantly, when that person, if I call that person creating a hate crime, now they're mad at me because I'm European, and I'm calling all Europeans out of name. It seems like now our democracy, being a democracy, is giving an excuse for some people not to own their behavior. If that's what we are wanting to say, then we must say then democracy allows people not to be held accountable. And if that is the case, then that's what our democracy, we must not be surprised at what our democracy is doing. So I'm just trying to be understand what that person says. Well, you're hating me because when you use the word hate, I get to conjure up. No, you're hating me because I'm European or whatever your descent is. But if that works for that person to say, well, you're talking about me in a incorrect way. Well, what about the people on the other side? When do they get the benefit to say you're doing what you're doing to me because of democracy? So I'm going somehow, could you clear that up for me? Because every time a people group says, you know, you're calling me a racist because, you're calling me a hater because, it's almost as though we're saying anything that they want to say, don't blanket me, don't call me this because I don't like it. Well, what about the people that are received on the receiving end of the misjustices? What rights do they have to express their frustration in a democratic republic? John, I just throw that back to you, Tom.
Yeah, I think that I think that if you want to run a democracy, you're going to have laws that try to prevent people from doing violence specifically to divide people. Right. And if you want that to, so I can tell you right now, the vast majority of working white people that I talk to think that hate crimes are total BS. Okay. They do. And they think it's a conspiracy against them and it's divisive and stuff. I'm not asking you to give up your rights. I'm not asking you to stop expressing yourself. What I'm asking is that if we're going to make hate crimes a crime and make them a thing that we can charge people with, can we at least use the words to describe what we're doing in a way that'll make everybody think that it's okay? Right. So in other words, can we try to sell this? Right. So like affirmative action, right? It's like, I didn't get into college, even though I got a better score. It's like, yeah, we're making it for past racism. This is a guy who just didn't let into college. And you're telling him that you're not letting him into college because his grandfather was evil. You're not trying. Okay. You're pleasuring yourself. It's fun to say that. That's fantastic. But I'm talking about actually running the government. And if we want to make these hate crimes illegal, which I think is essential, then let's at least try to sell it to the European Americans instead of making it use the worst word that'll just turn them off. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that if we're going to do this, let's at least try to explain what we're doing in the most favorable terms so that people can buy into it and support it. But instead, it's got to be done with the most divisive terms. So then the white people will be against it, and that'll prove how racist we are. And we're not getting it anymore.
I think I understand what you're saying there, Tom.
I understand trying to bring people in to a civil conversation or a civil place where we can reach a better outcome. No problem with that. I guess it's almost like I want to be sensitive to one side's how they interpret whatever we're dealing with. You know, you want to be sensitive to it. I'm going, then where does the sensitivity go back to the other side? Because if I have to deny and says, okay, I want to use whatever, I don't want to cause nobody a hatred or a hater or racist or whatever, a social term. But I would say it this way. If I were to go to Detroit and locate your son and bring 5 African Americans, 3 Native Americans, and I hunt your son down, and I, God forbid, we mutilate him like no other. You are telling me that if I were to, you were to call me a thug, whatever derogatory term, that you would prefer to say, hey, Dave, no, Dave and his marauders were just trying to express their frustration. I'm not sure how to make those. I just can't see, Tom, how I, on the recipient end of great pain and horror, have to be so sensitive that I don't hurt your feelings, and everybody white can say you're calling all of us names, which I'm not doing. I'm just concerned that people who have borne the brunt of pain cannot understand why you're saying democracy needs this approach. And I'm just saying that out loud, because when you say the people that you know, yeah, I say the people that I know will never walk down that path.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah.
So I would say my
absolutely.
So my response to that is that I would expect that if I was talking to an African-American man and I use the word thug, they would never hear anything after that. To me, if I use that word to an African-American man, that is a conversation ender, right?
If it is out of context, but you know, I mean, when my if my parents call, you know, we grew up African-American men, that's I'm a man. You don't cause trouble. You don't go down the streets causing havoc.
Right.
You respect your neighbor and your friends. And because mm-hmm. this is what they would say, your dad would say, boy, don't be a thug. Because it was clear that was a life I was not. And so if you or my neighbor came down and told my daddy, Mr. Williams, Dave is out with a thuggish group, they wouldn't hate you for that. They understood that was your behavior and your persona. If that is not true and you call me thug, then we got a problem. Yeah, we got a problem.
I would say hate is a common verb and thug is a derogatory term. And what it sounds like we African Americans need to change the word hate to make the white man feel more comfortable with it. And it's just, honestly, it's a silly sentiment. I feel like if we're all here, you know, dealing with a hate crime, you know, those heinous acts, the word hate is not even that harsh in, you know, the grand scheme of things. So, I kind of side with, Pastor Dave here. On that. And thug isn't necessary. It is a conversation ender. But it also like in the context, like if I'm talking with somebody, about thuggish behavior or somebody's calling me you're a thug, those are two different contexts, like stop acting like a thug or stop being a thug, you know? So that's how I see it.
Yeah, no,
but that's what I'm gathering.
Yeah,
from
no, you
too.
Want you guys want to change things without outreach. You want to use the most offensive terms you can use and ask us to rise above it. You're not going to try to sell your position to us at all because we don't deserve it. That's what you're saying.
No, we do want we want a better outcome. We definitely do. We both are from the world where
then use the words that'll have the best chance to get you a good outcome. And hate ain't one of them, and neither is thug. So that's if true. You want a good outcome, don't say that to white
that
people.
Is very true.
I'm just telling you. And will we respond? No, we won't. The anger we have will be in our hearts, and it will not be expressed. But it is still there,
and it's there just like.
I understand.
Us, when you were using terms toward us, that's what I'm just saying. I know what you're saying.
Not me. Me personally.
Not Tom.
Not personally. I'm just saying, now you know how we have felt at the languages that we endured for hundreds of years.
And that's the way white people feel, is that you're not trying to make it better. You're trying to make us understand how you felt for hundreds of years. And there's no way in the world we're ever going to be able to convince you that we can do that. So you're going off on a mission that is not possible for us to do. There's nothing there, Dave. There is no way we can understand where you're coming from.
But then from what you know, what are you willing to do to come toward me to show me that there is that have been done? And I want to lead because the leadership is not leading. I want to come toward you guys or your culture or your people. And here is my olive branch without you having to convince me. We want to see an olive branch even before the conversation starts.
In the way I see,
with that being said, I for the sake of time and for this episode, terrorism, hate crimes, it's all very much a very passionate topic. And I do want to thank you guys for joining us on this episode. And we will see you next time for part two on Faith in Each Other. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to Faith in Each Other. I hope today's conversation encourages you in your journey to have hard conversations and, most importantly, to listen to others around you. If we are going to have faith in each other, I believe we need to be willing to have hard conversations, and that is what we aim to do on this show. We will see you next time on Faith in Each Other. If you enjoyed this show, please share it with someone you know. See you next time.